Hi everyone. Sorry, that was the part where you say hello or something. Hi everyone. That's better. Maybe it's because I didn't use the word purpose. I will maybe also use the word purpose somewhere. Have you had a hectic week? Come on, let me see. Hi, Shaw. Yeah, me too. I had a... Was anyone at yesterday at the facilitators workshop? Anyone? I know, Ross, there's a few. Yes, I also had a hectic week, and even I had presented a session yesterday, and last night I was really tired, and I said to God, I really want to, you know, have a great word for you, so you really need to help me. But it's like more like this, God, you really need to help me now. And now, because I'm really tired. And it was amazing, God just started to, you know, do something in my heart. And by this morning, you know, my wife had to hear the sermon, the family had to hear everything. So I actually preached the same sermon already 3 or 4 times. But this, you're actually the first congregation that's going to hear. So my wife night and everything. But yeah, you know, something that from November, something I started to have in my heart and think quite a lot was, you can think in December you go back to your family and stuff. And okay, you see my title? Is your humility selfish? I know it's a contradiction, but you will understand a bit later. And I was seeing my whole family and stuff, and I was starting to wonder, you know, if one day, hopefully a lot of years, but if I died, how would my children know God, in a sense? And let me explain it a bit. Most of us have a lot of testimonies in our lives. You know, we have got a lot of experiences with God. But we somehow don't always explain to our children or to people that's the next generation. If I could ask you, how many of you know if your grandfather was saved? Who of you know how he got saved? Who of you actually know how your grandfather got saved? Anyone? Is there anyone here? There's one, I see. And for me, it was a bit shocking. You know, realizing I actually did like in the family, you know, my dad at some... One day, like, okay, you're the pastor, please, let's do a church service at home. Now, we're quite a big family, so we can actually do it. And that was basically my mission. I actually told my own family, listen, you know, we're all spirit-filled, we're all baptized, we're very privileged, and my whole family is saved, and the whole thing. But we actually don't know one another's testimonies. We don't know how my sister got spirit-filled. We don't know the story. And I realized it's the same, you know, that all these things happen, and our grandchildren, one day, how will they know who is God through our lives? So this was the one thing I started to think about. And then the other thing was starting to realize how our testimony also looked to the world, how our good news looked to the world. And I, even with the death of Whitney Houston, I saw on News 24, one of the first responses was from a Christian. And this lady made a connection between Whitney Houston, drug abuse, sin, death, and God. And she was like the first person that responded. And now you can think the comments after that was very interesting. You know, people started, you know, actually basically taking her out. You know, asking, you know, where is God? Who's God? I don't see him on ETV. I remember it was one comment. You know, and I realized the way that we sometimes as Christians, you know, reveal who Christ is a bit, in this sense, a bit stupid. You know, the poor lady just died, and the first thing you can think of is sin. You know, so the poor world is just hearing what one thing, you know, that of sin. And then I also saw this. Who of you have seen the movie Easy A? Anyone? A few here? That was an altar call, by the way. No, my sister also saw it. But I saw the preview. So I preached the sermon to her too. And but you see, don't worry, I won't condemn. But in the movie, just in the preview, you know, I must say I didn't see it, so maybe I'm totally out of context. But in the preview, this is a story about, I think her name is Emma, and her friend, a Christian, thought that she slept with someone, and then she tried, and then she told the people. Basically, what happened in the end, she now, as the Christian, actually tried to reach out to this lady, but basically just judging her. And there's a whole part of this, and I actually got the clip here. I hope we can play it here. Can we quickly play it? I just took snips out of it because I didn't want to show the whole preview in church.
Olive, that's your name, right?
Yeah, we've had 9 classes together since kindergarten.
So you need to pray for her, but you also need to get her the hell out of here.
Amen.
On Monday, things took...
There's a higher power that will judge you very easily.
Tom Cruise.
And just watching that, there is a bit more, even when, right in the end, where she says, a higher power will judge you, and she says, Tom Cruise, and when the lady actually turned around to walk away, the brunette actually shouted afterwards, am I safe now? You know? And I just realized, this is how the world see us. You know, they're actually making a mockery of our testimony, of the truth that we have. Now, yes, the Christian in the movie, it seems I've done everything wrong. When I told my sister, this whole movie actually, you know, in a sense, disgusts me because they're making a mockery of salvation and of Christianity. You know, my sister said, but she was the wrong one. You know, the other one was the good one. She didn't do anything wrong. But still, you know, it's the way I use our testimonies that I think sometimes we actually miss people. You know, when we sometimes have this turn or burn strategy. And I don't know, Ross, but I don't think I'm done set to lacquer with the turn or burn strategy. Ross also shaking his head. And I want to talk a bit about our testimony, how we show it to the world. And the first thing that we need to, and I always use this verse in all my sermons in Philippians, to do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Now, why that is also important is you saw right in the beginning the lady now reaching out to her, but she actually asked her name, but she was in the same class for I don't know how many years. And again, this is like this Christianity people not actually showing interest in the person. If you showed interest in the person, you would have obviously known her name. But now she's trying to reach out to her, trying to get her away from her sin, trying to do the turn or burn type of thing. And again, sometimes we sound also like that, even if we don't want to. And so I just want us to focus a bit on that tonight. And I want to now, in my own screen now, the video clip also plays now. I want to read to you Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from the old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and wonders that he has done. He established a testament in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he has commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now, for me, that's a very powerful psalm. And I, as Ross said, me and my family went to Namibia for like, I think, a year and a half. And I'm also living in Somerset West and basically working HQ at Stellenbosch. So I'm quite used to all the students and student life and being a student also for 101 years. And But something when I came back, and I don't know why it is, but coming back from Namibia, I realized how much students have changed. In the sense of what I was seeing was the stubborn, the rebellious, not steadfast, not faithful to God generation. And I realized, like, wow, things really changed in society. You know, for me, it felt when I was still, in a, like, few years back, like 10 or so years back, you know, if you wanted to disciple someone on campus, if you knew something about baptism and the fact that you can tell someone Jesus loves you, it was more or less enough to convert the person. You know, but these days, if you walk on campus, I don't know about your campus here, but if you walk on campus, it's like this is a new crowd. You know, it's like, you know, they don't fall for this anymore, if I can put it like that. You know, they Google it. And then Google is more important than church, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, I want to go back, how do we help a generation like this? Things that we've heard and know that our fathers have told us, but then verse 4, sorry, I went back again. On Psalm 78, verse 4, there you go. Next one. We will not hide them from their children, but tell it to the coming generation, the glorious deeds and his might and the wonders that he has done. And so the answer that God has for that rebellious generation, the stubborn, all these things, is there. We will not hide the glorious deeds, his might and his wonders. So we will share what God is doing in our lives to the people, basically. Does that make sense to you? So to help us, we need to look, and this is where I say, is your humility selfish? Because what we sometimes do is we have this testimony. Now, if I look at my own family, if we would write all our testimonies in a book, it looks quite impressive. If my grandchildren would look at our book, they will have a very good indication of who God is. You know, and it's not like we will write in a lot of information. We won't write in the stuff that you can Google. The things that we will write in is what will say something, our character with God. You know, the wonders, all those things that he has done in my life. You see in the Bible, we always see the, you know, where they say the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham, eh? You know, so many generations. But in our case, how would people talk about you one day? How would people talk about your family? And I know most of you don't have children, but this is a good time to start. You know, not with children. There is purpose in that too. But to actually get to a place where you share everything. But what we sometimes do, we think it's humility not to share our testimony. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes we think we will offend someone if I share my testimony. It's a weird thing. I actually don't really understand it. It's like we think if I will share my testimony, the person that doesn't have a testimony like I do will feel offended, but because he's not as, I don't know, spiritual as I am. But with us riding in a BMW, drive past Ford, what was it? Sierra, and think, I really don't hope I offend the guy in the Ford now because I'm driving my BMW. You know, we just don't think like that. But when it comes to our testimony, we're like, because I've got the BMW testimony, I'm going to offend all the Ford people. So I'm not going to share my testimony. You know, I'm going to be the humble one and not share my testimony. Now, I say it is selfish. Because if you don't share it, you're going to have a stubborn, rebellious generation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? It's very powerful. If you can go to the next slide. That the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. You see, God actually is telling us we must learn how to tell our stories, our testimony, so that our children can tell it to their children, the people that we don't even know. And all of most of you are studying, you know, as a student, I know, maybe you are very clever people, but all my degrees is sitting in God's office in heaven because he takes all the glory. But I've got so many testimonies just as a student where God came through for me. And I would never forget with biochemistry. I didn't know anything about biochemistry. I didn't have science at school, but I studied BSc Agricultural. And I remember at some stage, those of you that have also done biochemistry, it's like a dierlopend. How do you say? What's dierlopend? Continuous subject. So anyway, for my last one, I needed something like 65 or something percent just to, you know, pass. And I was studying, and at some stage, I said to God, God, there's no way. I don't have a clue what's going on here. And then God actually told me, go to the lecture and ask for a specific year's paper and work it out. So I went to the lecture, and he told me about biochemistry may not take out the vraagsteller. What's vraagsteller in English? Exam papers. Papers were the right word. So I'm from the Northern Cape. The English doesn't go that well. Anyway, so I was sitting there, and this guy told me, but you know, no exam paper might go out. So I told him, well, that's fine. I will sit here. Then it doesn't go out. And he said, well, that's not against the rules. And I told him, I want that year, that month's paper. So he gave it to me, and I worked it out, and it's one of those field piercer thingies. And I wrote out the whole thing. And at some stage, and now, by the way, now I'm... You know, I've got a bit of pastoral thing in me. You know, I know about his grandfather, and you know, we had a good conversation. And at some point, I asked him, do you think this will help? And he looked at me and said, you must be really stupid if it's not going to help. Anyway, the next day, I wrote my exam, and to this day, I might know which is not the right answer. You know, one of the fifth one was not one of the above, you know, one of those. So, you know, so I even learned that, not one of the above. And I got 115% for biochemistry, because there's actually a few bonus questions. So I even got 150. But anyway, for me, you know, there's so many testimonies that I had as a student and that I actually would like my children one day to know. You know, now for me not to share it is selfish, because it takes away the glory that God must get. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Okay. Verse 8, just again, when you want to reach the stubborn, rebellious, not steadfast, not faithful people, there we go. I'm going to read quite a few verses to you. Psalms 102, verse 15. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory, he regards the prayer of the destitute, and does not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded, again we see, let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that the people yet not be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height from heaven, the Lord, look at the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die. And again we just see the way God wants us to record it again for the next generation. I'm going to go on. The next one, Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. Now, therefore, write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouth, that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give to their fathers, and they give, eaten and are full and ground fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them and despise me and break my covenant. And when my evils and troubles have come upon them, this song shall comfort them as a witness, for it will live unforgotten in the mouth of their offspring. For I know that they are inclined to do even today before I've brought them into the land that I've sworn to give. So Moses wrote the song the same day and taught it to the people of Israel. This is another funny thing. Some of you actually shared this already tonight. Why it's also important to record it, to write it down, make a song of something, is that God actually says he knows we get distracted. So you need to have that. You need that testimony. I think one of you said to find yourself in Christ again. But this is how you do it. It's the fact that you know who Christ is in your life because you can see what they've already done in your life. Now, it helps with your own confidence. I'm going to read quite a few verses to you. Psalm 71, verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Many of my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered to, may they be covered who seek my head. For I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds, of your salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord, God will come, and I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O my God, from my mouth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old in age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Isn't that powerful? Who of you are actually writing down your own testimony, writing, actually focusing on proclaiming what God is doing? You know, it's something, it's in the Old Testament, you see it everywhere. When someone would go to, you know, if God would do something and he would build an altar, and it will call it something like, God came through for me today. You know, they have like, when you drive from Namibia down here, there's like, some of those towns is like, hier was het bitter zwaar, het fontein. You know, it was zwaar gekry, fontein. Everything is always that I'm a fontein by. But, you know, it's like in our whole life, there's so much that we can proclaim of his goodness. And it's interesting to see also how many times when God talks about, write these things down, proclaim it to the nations, proclaim it to the next generation, you know, my wondrous deeds, that you also see the word, the fear of God. You know, the other day I was also thinking about, because I'm with the small groups, and I was thinking, how do you facilitate the fear of God? And I realized you can't facilitate that. You can only teach it, and you can only show it by the wondrous deeds that God has done in people's life. You can go and read the Old Testament, it's full of it. You know, where there's an altar and it will say something, and the people saw the fear of God, or they feared God. So, I want us to already, in your mind, already think of, in the future, start writing down your testimonies and make it, proclaim it to the world. Okay. What is the things that we need to remember? What should we remember when God showed up? So if God came into your life, I want to read you Deuteronomy 6 verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts, on your house, and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to you with great and good cities that you did not build, and a house full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God who shall you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. And again we see, when something happens in your life, if you write it down, if you make it a testimony in your life, what it also does is when God come through for you, and you proclaim it time after time, it actually humbles you. Because you realize that what happened in your life was not because of you. When you also go back to your own testimony, it actually brings compassion into your life again. I'm going to read a verse that also will show this again to you. But it's important that, you know, some things that happened like 10 years back, and we actually forgot about it. It's natural. You know, I can't even remember all my testimonies of years back. But what it also do is that when we forgot about it, we also forgot about that fear of God that we see there in verse 13. And again, when we don't teach this to our generations to come, they will also not fear God. Does that make sense to you? Next one I want to read to you. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of this stipulation, decrees, and laws that the Lord of God has commanded you, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us from there to bring us in the, and give us the land that he proclaimed on an oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that, we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. Again, we can see when we remember what God has done in our life, we can see that fear of God building in our lives. The next thing is it builds our confidence for the future. A great example of this is obviously David. When David stands before Goliath and say, you know, I've already killed my lion, I've already killed my bear. So, you know, you're the giant, I'm going to kill you. You know, because I've got that confidence. Now, again, some of us might think, if we really think about that, that David were arrogant by saying something like, you know, you're the giant, but I'm not really afraid of you. You know, I'm going to kill you. God came through for me, the lion, the bear. But we can actually see, if you look a bit earlier, you can see David actually, they wanted to put on the armor for him, but it was actually too big for him. Now, the fact that he was willing to take it shows that he had a humble heart. You know, someone that's arrogant is someone that says, I don't need help. You know, so David, that was not it. So in David's case, what you are seeing is confidence, and the confidence is because of testimonies. He was reminding himself of his own testimony. You know, and this is why it's sometimes good, even when you stand in the mirror, to remind you of your own testimonies. You know, when you stand before a challenge, speak to the challenge and tell him about your old testimonies. Proclaim it. Again, David says, you know, I live to proclaim all the wondrous things that you've done for me. Also, I want to read to you Hebrews 10, verse 32 to 36. But recall the former days, when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those to treat it, so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Again, a very powerful verse. Again, it shows that when you keep up reminding yourself, going back to your testimonies, it builds that confidence, and it also builds that compassion for other people going through the similar things. You know, sometimes we work through things, and we see other Christians going through bad things or stuff, and you think like, in a sense, you're a better Christian. You know, because I'm not going through this stuff. You actually lose compassion for, let's say, young Christians. You know, they're struggling to read the word, they're struggling to get breakthrough in finances or whatever, and we've actually, lose that compassion because we've forgotten how we felt when we went through the same type of things. And then, the one that I really want to focus on tonight, and I'm not going to talk too much, is by our lifestyle. 1 Peter 2 verse 12 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, should the world see our good deeds then? But why do we want people to see our good deeds? It's so that God can get glorified. You know, and I love Joshua 4, and this is for me another key verse for tonight. If you just remember this, I'm not going to maybe read the whole thing, but in Joshua 4, it's about where the Israelites went through the Jordan, and God told him to put 12 stones, and then they also put another 12 stones behind after the river. And one of it was saying is in Joshua 4 verse 6, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you can tell them. Now for me, this is very powerful because the stones, if you really think about it, especially the stones that was put after they went through the Jordan, didn't really say that much about the miracle. It's if like God said to them, put these stones up so that people can ask you about it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So they knew, God knows we're not this good at this. you know, proclaiming our testimonies. What he's showing us here, verse that last bit on that slide, so that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. The same is in verse 21. This is talking about the same place. When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? And in verse 24, it says, so that... I'm going very fast for the poor guy with the EKT. He's just sitting there in the back. Verse 24. So that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Now, I want us to think quickly now. Everyone's still awake. You actually do look awake. I'm impressed. But I want you to now please focus, because this is the practical part. What God did there was very clever with the stones. He knew it's not just the Israelites is going to walk past that. Because it's saying so the whole world may know. So it's also the Gentiles that's going to walk past. And what are they going to do? They're going to ask, what is this for? And what are you going to do? Now you can testify. So my question or practical thing is, when something happens in your life, when God does something in your life, where's your stones? Where do you put it, something that someone can ask you about it? How would the world know about your testimony? We want to show the world our testimony because the world should see our good deeds. Does that make sense to you? You know, and in today's time, it's so much easier. We already saw in Deuteronomy where God says, put it on your doorpost, on your gates. Now, for them, that would have been probably the best multimedia, if you understand what I'm saying. But in today's time, goodness, we've got Facebook, and I love, you can show the next slide. That's my second son. But you know, I like the fact that Facebook has like a new timeline thing. Have you seen that? I love that. I hope that one day my grandchildren will look at my Facebook timeline. And what they will see is glory unto God. Does that make sense to you? If God does something in your life, you know, how many Facebook friends do you have? A few hundred, hopefully. You know? If you don't invite, go to see us. And get into his friend, and then there's a lot of people you can can invite. But the nice thing about... Don't tell him I said that. But the nice thing about Facebook is that when something happens in your life, you can put it on Facebook in such a safe environment. Now, this is, if we want to testify to the world, the easiest place or the best way is you want them to ask you questions. You know, it's much more difficult to walk to someone and say, do you want to hear something about Jesus? What's wrong with you? He's sitting in the front row. But that's sometimes what we do. You know, but I love the way that God actually had this way of putting it there so that people could ask. The same with communion. You know, our children should ask us, why do we have communion? But you should be ready then to tell them. And you must have testimonies in your own life. I love what Ross did today, you know, with the offering. We should write it down. People should see it. You know, people don't want to hear sermons anymore. They want to see it. They want to hear it. But you want them in a place where they want to receive it. You know, it's the same with the lady on News 24. What she said was not wrong. Everything that was right, but it was in the wrong place, in the wrong way. You know, nobody opened their heart to hear more about Christ. They actually just closed it down. You know, so I really want us to think of ways how we can do it. You know, as Ross and I, with the small groups, if I was a small group facilitator right now, for those that are, listen now. This is a tip. I would have put 12 frames, photo frames, at the venue. And every month, what God did for us as a small group, I would take a photo and put it in it. Because in June, a new member is going to visit you, the 100th new member. And there's some purpose in small groups. And when that person walk in by June, there should be 6 photos already. And you don't need to tell the person what the small group is about. He will see it. you actually want him to ask you, what happened here? And you're like, let me tell you. You know, but again, in our own lives, again, you know, I think it was February, in my first week of February, I did my PhD defense. So by end of March, hopefully I will get the thingy on the head with a PhD in science. Now, I'm going to put it in my house. If you walk in, you're going to see it. And for the only reason I'm going to do it is that you can ask me, aren't you a pastor? What are you doing with a PhD in science? And I'm going to, let me tell you. And guess what? I'm going to give glory unto God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So is that arrogance? Is that pride if I put it in my own? You must think about this now. This time let me brag. I finished the comrades. I'm going to put that also on my... If you walk in, you can see that too. I want you to ask me about it. If someone asks you about something, their heart immediately opens for it, for an answer. It's much easier to do something like that than to tell you, listen, you're going to listen here now from me because I've got Christ and you don't. And because I've got Christ and you don't, I am better than you. We don't say it, but we do say it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That lady in that movie, she got it totally wrong. You know, it's much better to show Jesus to the world by the testimony in your life. Does that make sense? So sometimes we think to be humble is not to brag about God. But if we think like that, we're stealing His glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, so in your office, at your room, put something in your room that someone must walk by and say, why is that there? What on earth is that? Be creative. Again, you know, when I would visit a small group, when I'm still a student, but I'm actually still a student, but like many years ago, I would wear an interesting t-shirt. Usually I would wear one of like some type of triathlon and hope that someone in the group would like or running, cycling, or swimming. Because I had to visit small groups or go and help them. But there was not a lot of time so that, you know, so I wanted people to come to me also. You know, ask me, oh, do you do triathlon? And I said, yes, and what's your name? And you can make a conversation. You know, but again, just make, you know, we're sometimes so spiritual about these things. You know, I'm not an evangelist, so I can't reach out to people. But your testimony can. You know, it's much more difficult to go and tell someone about Jesus, but it's very easy if He comes to you. But are you ready to do it? I've got a next picture. I showed it yesterday at the workshop too. I want you quickly, which of these images describe Christ the best for you personally? Quickly pick one. Don't worry, it's not the wrong one. Quickly turn to those groups that you were sitting in. Tell the person next to you which image did you choose. Now, by still focusing on that slide, I want you to ask the next question. What personal experience in your life influenced your answer the most? What personal experience in your life, if you feel comfortable with the person next to you, say to the other person, what personal experience in your life influenced your answer the most? just for the sake of time, if you still need time to, if you wanted to really do it well, because let me, the person next to you, this is in my good family value, rather make a coffee appointment and say, we still need to talk about this. Say you still want to hear the person next to you, their story. So I really want you afterwards, or even now if you can, ask the person next to you, especially if it's a new person, make a coffee date for this. You know, because something that we also need to learn and be trained in is actually how to share our testimony. You know, it's very easy, and I've done it, it's not the first time I've done this. With the first question I ask, which of these images describe Christ the best to you, that's not that difficult. But the next one's a bit more difficult, because we're actually not used to talk about past experience in our lives. It's very easy to see from the front how the moment you ask the second question, people are like, you know, they don't really know what to answer. We're not used talking about our relationship with God. You know, if it's sometimes funny, if someone would ask you, how's your relationship with God? What type of answer would you give? Super blessed, says Ross. It's weird when people ask you a question like that, we always give this very spiritual answer. But if someone would ask me, how's my relationship with my wife? I would probably say, you know, I've got the greatest marriage, but I really don't know what I'm doing right. You know, but that's, you know, that says more. But sometimes when you ask people about God in their life, they give us this, I don't know. Oh, you know, me and God, we like, you know, he's there, I'm here. Type of thing, you know, yes, it's blessed. You know, we don't really talk like that, you know. But we get weird when we talk about God. And then we also look weird to the rest of the world. You know, while I'm at that, it's the same like, gladly I know Rosa, he doesn't do this. But at some places, you know, when people talk, they talk, you know, but when they start to pray, it's like, yes, Jesus. And I go into a whole new personality. And I still to this day, I can't get it. You know, but maybe there's a very good reason for that. But I don't really get it, you know. Or is someone that, you know, like myself, I'm very Afrikaans, as you can hear. But you get Afrikaans people, but I can only pray in English. I don't get that. I don't go to my mother and dad in Kaimus and start talking a new language. You know, but when we do it with God, we do weird things with God. And He just, as I said, that's why I'm using Facebook and the photo, because we are too weird to the rest of the world. The world doesn't want to see the weirdness. They want to see the miracles. They want to see the love. They want to see the acceptance. And again, if I go to someone and say, can I tell you about the love of Jesus? You're still going to say no to me. But if I can show it to you, it's a different story. And if you ask me about my PhD, I will definitely give you all the glory to God, and I would testify to you, and you won't necessarily know that was the purpose behind the whole thing. Because sometimes, again, if I come to you and say, can I tell you about the love of Jesus, there's like a hidden agenda, in a sense. But when I talk about my PhD, I just want to tell everyone, I don't care who you are. You know, everyone should hear about how great God is. You know, it was so amazing. Again, we are sometimes even shy about what God has given to us. You know, and we shouldn't be. And you know, in my PhD defense, that got like trick questions. Did you know that? And the one trick question in my defense were, they asked me, is there any novelty, new thing in my PhD that will change science and the industry? And then the lady looked at me like, if you can give me two, please. And for me, in my spirit, it was like God saying to me, this is your moment. Take it. And I'd look at her and I was like, why just two? Can't I give more? And I immediately saw her, she was like, okay, okay. And I started and I told her, you know, I'm not, you know, going to brag now what I've achieved. And when I said two things and then I said, can I give more, please? She said, okay, okay. And I went on. And afterwards, my, what do you call it, a promoter, how you say, he came to me and he said, do you know that answer? Swing the whole thing. You know, it was such a God-given moment of not being, my first word that went to my mind, it was stupid. You know, God has given you that land, possessed it, and I want to say, even be aggressive about it. You know, it's the same of your testimony. It's yours. Don't be shy about your testimony. God has done stuff in your life and don't be shy about it. Why do you want to be shy about it? You're not going to offend someone. It's again, sorry for the BMW, but it's the same. If I wear a Stormers jersey, I'm not walking around, I don't hope he's a Bulls supporter. I'm going to offend him. Maybe I shouldn't wear my Stormers jersey. I'm going to offend all the other teams. Is there a Bulls supporter? I don't have a Stormers jersey. But it's the same. You get what I'm trying to say here. You know, we've got the Jesus t-shirt, in a sense, but we're so afraid someone's going to see it. We might just offend someone. But the world actually wants to see it. They actually have the need to want to see it. Let me agree. I'm going to finish with this, just three slides. Just to show you how amazing Jesus was with this. The two examples, Nicodemus and the woman at the well. Remember, he wanted to create a moment, like I said, you want to provoke someone to actually ask you questions. With Nicodemus, Jesus said, answer him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And with the woman at the well, he talked about living water. Now, in both cases, and again, now Nicodemus and the woman at the well, by saying something like that, both of them want salvation. And he made like a statement, and the way he made it was, you can't listen to it and not ask a question back. He freaked them out with his statement. And Nicodemus said in the next verse, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And the woman said again, the woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Perfect. This is perfect facilitation. Because guess what? Both of them want to hear from Jesus now. And this is usually our problem. We struggle to get people to want to listen to us. Jesus is showing us here exactly how to do it. And then you can know, and this is my last slide, with Nicodemus, Jesus basically answered him a bit long. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. With the woman of the well, he said, but the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Now their hearts were totally open for that. When they heard it, they understood it. They wanted to understand it. They wanted to go and meditate about this. And this is what we also, again, sometimes do wrong. We want to say something to someone, and you want him to, or you, in a sense, force him to must understand you. But what you really want is, I'm sharing that testimony of where God, first of all, told me, go to the lecturer and ask for a certain paper. For the person that's unsaved, he thinks, and how did God speak to you? But that is what I want him to ask. Because then I can tell him, well, let me tell you. I'm glad you ask. You know, again, when I done the commerce, oh, most of you are like medical students, eh? I went and ran the commerce with ITB in the one leg and runners knee in the other leg. And the whole commerce through God showed me many things, you know, just like, it was amazing. I didn't know I had the gift of healing, but I did, you know. And one stage, for example, God told me, go and run on this side of the road, and then the pain went away. And the other time I remember, he told me, now drink this. And a few kilometers away, he said, drink this. Now eat this. And he gave me all these things. I've told the story before, but let me quickly tell you, and then I'm really going to finish. I'm going to finish with this, and then we can go home. And go on your Facebook and tell all your testimonies. I think it was 2000. I didn't really exercise a lot, but I wanted to do the Comrades because it's 2000. And I think I was 18. Not a good age to go and do the Comrades. But anyway, I couldn't get there because I didn't have any money. But as I told you, my family saved, so my mother decided she's going to pray. And when my mother prayed, everything, God listens. So someone that we didn't really knew called my mother and told her she's got like two tickets on this like actually a Comrades train, that I can go on this train to Durban. And I was like, great. And, by the way, she actually got only one ticket. But I also had a friend that was just as stupid as me. So my mother told this organizer, she called the person about the train, she said, listen, I've got one ticket, but I've got another son that needs to go. And this person said, no, there's not a chance. The tickets has been sold out months before. So my mother told him, listen, God's not confused. Just call me when you get the next ticket. And it was 15 minutes later, the guy called her back and said, okay, I've got your ticket now. And so there we went. And I came to Durban, and I was like, I don't know, everything just went past very fast. And I was standing there when you, at the start, and they've got like on your numbers, it says how many medals you have. So they actually make a place for how many gold everyone. And suddenly, where I was standing, like everyone had medals. And then I look at my own one, it says like 0000. And then suddenly my eyes open up. And I was like, what on earth am I doing here? And then I was like, obviously, now, God, please help me. What did I do? You know, it's like exams again. When you say to God, God, I told you last time I would study, but here I am again. And but anyway, but before I went, I went and I did my at 42 kilometers so that you can qualify. And so there I was standing and saying to God, God, furthest that I've ever went was 42 kilometers, of which I walked the last 12 kilometers. Today I need to do that, and then I need to do it again, and then there's still a few kilometers even left after that. So I told God, I really don't have a clue how I'm going to do this. And I will never forget, I was like seeing God smiling, and God told me, listen, I know you don't know, but I know, and that's all you need to know. And then he actually told me, he told me, don't run a single hill, walk them all. Now, I remember I was 18, I've got very good pride in me. And I think the first hill was after 4 kilometers, and I started walking it up because God told me, walk up every hill. And, I you can think, I thought, or everyone passing me right now is thinking, shame. Walking on 4. Still 38 to go. Oh, 83 to go. Anyway, the whole story, make it short. I run my first half, my second half, exactly the same, of which my last 7 was the quickest. And I finished, and I will never forget, when you can think as any child, you want to finish with Chariots of Fire. And when I came into the stadium, they played Chariots of Fire. Don't worry, I wasn't first of anything like that. I was like 10 hours something. And but it was like a lady, I remember it was a young girl, standing with a huge poster just saying, Jesus loves you. And when I saw that, I was like, I just started to cry. But I knew it was like the finisher fight though. So I put on my glasses because I knew I'm not going to finish. You know, and I really feel sorry for the people that finished with me, because it's like my little son, second one, had his second birthday now, but I have another son that is 3.5, and when you look at all the pictures, it seems like it's the oldest son's birthday, and it was the same when I finished the conference. Everyone that was behind me, it was like me, so whoever was next to me has me in their photo. the nice thing when God comes through for you like that, you don't take any glory. You know, because I was like, right, when I finished, I was like, this was much bigger than myself. God, all the glory. And for me, the amazing, it was one of my most intimate moments with God, because the whole time I was so dependent on Him. You know, and it was like, this is His glory. Amen. Can we please close our eyes? I just want us to really just be honest with yourself. Because even tonight, I'm talking about hearing God's voice, having these intimate moments with God. And I just want, if you are sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, wow, I can't really experience or I can't associate myself with an intimate moment with God like that. Even when I ask the question about what life experience influenced your answer, we would like to pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Do not just raise your hand. If there's anyone like that tonight, that you feel, I can't tell, I don't have a story like that. I don't have like that comrade story where I can say, I went through life and God said this to me at around that corner and said to me that around that hill. Is there anyone like that? Thank you for that hand. It's the same, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Is there anyone here tonight that can't say he experienced that? We can say, I've had an experience where I felt God's love for me in such a way that I know God sent His Son to die for my sin. And I know it because I experienced it in that way. Is there anyone like you that don't have that experience in your life? And then my next question of people that I want to pray with is just, if you're sitting here tonight, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I actually want us to pray for one another. Is that if you're sitting here and you know that you've actually been selfish about your own testimony, selfish about the glory of God in your life, and you actually need to repent of stealing His glory by not sharing the testimonies in your life, just raise your hand quickly. There's many of us. And tonight, I actually want us, if we can open our eyes, I want us to be bold. Those that just raised their hand, the people around us, let us pray for one another and just get to a place where we say, especially those who raised your hands, to say, God, I give all my testimonies to You. It's like one of those songs says, You're the King, you get all the glory. I want the excuse to give You a glory. And I'm not going to hold it back. Whatever it means to bring more glory to You, I'm going to do it. So I want us to, can those people please raise your hands again? Those that, and I want us to, for people to surround, and if it's everyone in your row, then pray for one another. Pray that God will give us that confidence, not to miss it again, because it shouldn't be a fear, but to really have the boldness, the confidence to stand up and to understand when it's your moment for God. You know, for me again, even with that study leader, you know, Hercules that God had also preached, he was actually also there. And it was amazing to see the study leader, when he introduced me as a son of God. At the scientific, you know how science people are. You know, and again, that is what you want. And I didn't do anything except I just wanted to say I was myself. You know, if I had the opportunity, I'd testify to the whole department. You know. But I wasn't that, Ross will know me, I'm not like the typical evangelist like C.S. that has all these divine appointments. Your divine appointment is with every testimony. That is your divine appointment. Every time someone asks you, How did that happen? Why did that happen? That's your divine appointment. And see it like that. Amen. Can you please stand up? I'm going to end off with prayer. And I just want the person that raised their hand that didn't have that experience to, if you have the liberty, please come forward. And I just want to pray with you. I'm going to end with a prayer, and then you can pray for one another. Amen. Father, we want to thank you, God, for this amazing night, Father God. We thank you that all the testimonies that's already in our lives, Father God, and that everyone represents a divine appointment with someone, Father God. We thank you, God, that there's all this glory for you that's actually hidden in our hearts, hidden in our minds, Father God, and we want to open it up, Father God. We want to make it like just like rain falling down, Father God, that when the world looks at your at the bride of Christ, Father God, all they will see is glory unto you, Father God, that they will see that, Father God, you're alive, Father God, that you're well, Father God, that you're a good God, you're a faithful God, Father, and that you are looking after your children, Father God. And we thank you, God, that we can give it all to you, Father. And even tonight, Father God, I just want to pray a blessing over this church, Father God. Thank you, God, for everything they're still going to achieve, Father God, and that they're going to, yes, God, provoke so many questions where people will run in here and ask, how can I get saved, because I want what you want, Father God. And I pray, God, that they will, that the world will see the love between one another, Father God, praying for one another, showing interest in one another, Father God. And I pray, and I thank you, God, that you just opening the heavens, Father God, to just to rain down on this church, Father God, because your message, your love need to get out to the world, Father God. And we pray that this church will always be a church that will send out people with your love, with your message, Father God, and to be, yes, God, just storytellers out in the world, Father God, telling stories, testimonies of your greatness, Father God, and to, so that every generation will know you, Father God, and they will understand that fear of God, Father, in their lives, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen.